Hello and welcome to the Hong Kong Racing Weekly podcast from the South China Morning Post. It's Friday, December the 6th, and the Hong Kong International Races is finally here. With me, Jack Dawling, to preview the four big Group 1 features, as always, racing editor Sam Agars and senior production editor Jay Rooney. We have the International Jockeys Championship is firmly in the rearview mirror, but we must have to start there. Mikel Barcelona stole the show to lift the trophy after an emphatic win. And not only was Mikel celebrating a big victory, but Sam, so were you. You put up Mikel as your value tip for the RJC at 28-1. And it's fair to say he delivered emphatically.
He certainly did. I was laughed at on Wednesday by my fellow podcast members. But it was pretty obvious from early on when he saluted on Sergeant Pepper that he was going to have a good night. And the only one that he didn't win on was the short favourite.
There you go, and as you said, he was going to pick up all the points towards the end of the card, and he went bang bang pretty much in the first two legs.
Yeah, well, Mikhail and I went about it a different way, but we both got to the same result.
Fantastic. And anyway, moving on to Sunday pretty swiftly. Of course, we have the four Group 1 features, and they start with the longest of the four, the Longines Hong Kong Vase, over a mile and a half or 2,400 metres, whichever you prefer. We have the three-year-old Japanese filly Stellenbosch, and without a fight, they're both currently at the head of the market at around the $5 mark with overseas markets. We have the British Raiders Gia Velotto and Dubai Honor, along with Aidan O'Brien trained Luxembourg at around the 7-1 mark. And the two French Raiders are around the 15-1 mark, and other than that, 25-1 bar those. But Jay, the internationals have a superb record in the Vase. It looks all but certain that they're going to be taking it home again. But the real question is, which way do you think it's going to be going?
Well, it's a race full of intrigue, really, isn't it? There's several different avenues you can take looking at it, but I think I'm slightly leaning towards Without a Fight at the top of the field. No Australian bias there, but he's potentially the quality of the field. I suppose the query is coming back from that injury, second up off a long injury enforced layoff, and making the trip overseas. But his first up run at Flemington was really good behind Via Sestina. That form's obviously quite elite, and by all reports, the horse has settled in well here in Hong Kong, really thriving. The Friedman stable believe that he's back near enough to his form of last year before that injury when he won the Caulfield and Melbourne Cups. So I think that's a good enough reason to side with him. But very, very open race. You can make a case for at least half the field, I would have thought.
Yeah, and it sounds a bit ridiculous, Sam, saying it, but he's a Melbourne Cup winner. He's won the Caulfield Cup as well. He ran a huge race last time out in the Champion Stakes, and he's towards the head of the market. But it almost feels like he's a little bit under the radar going into the race Without a Fight.
I think just Australian horses in general. We know we haven't had many of them here. The last Australian winner at this meeting was way back in 2001, so I guess it's not. Australian horses are not synonymous with success at this meeting. Without a Fight's favourite in some overseas markets, but to say he's gone under the radar, it wouldn't be unfair. There's certainly not been a huge groundswell of support for him in chat around the place. But look, he's got to be a really good chance. I keep gravitating back to Stellenbosch down the back, even though she's drawn barrier 13. Joe Marrera is going to have plenty of time down that Sha Tin straight to find himself a position. Questionable how much pace there's going to be in the race, so she will be relying on race shape a bit there. She's going to need someone to put some pace into it for her, but look, I think she's the class, and with a 9-pound advantage over the rest of the field, that's where my allegiances lie, despite that poor draw.
As you say, the form of Savinia looks pretty solid as well there, but Jay, looking at the pace of the race, it's quite interesting. You got Luxembourg perhaps going forward, continuous as well. How do you see the race unfolding?
Well, those two horses could potentially control and dictate from the front. I suppose the potential spanner in the works could be the local horse carrying generation. If Andrea decides to take off the midway point of the race, or at some stage around that point of the race, to inject some pace and potentially give his horse a better chance of sneaking a top three, top four type of finish. Outside of that, it looks pretty bereft of speed. So Will be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, definitely. And Sam, what do you make of the Aidan O'Brien duo in here? I know Mogul delivered you with a very successful day back in 2020. Do you think he has either of those that could be in serious contention?
I find it a little bit hard to get excited about Luxembourg, to be honest. I know he's a good horse and he's run plenty of good races. But look, it's going to be interesting to see where Ryan finds himself from gate nine. He might not be in the best position. And as far as continuous goes, look, definitely a horse who's going to have to improve on previous efforts. But if he can get a soft time of it in front, well, look, not often Aidan would bring two horses to a race and the one that Ryan Moore on is not on would win. But look, there might be some value around continuous.
Yeah, probably. I get what you're saying with Luxembourg. Of course, he's off to retirement after this race. At first, I thought the race is just it might just set up for him. You know, there's not too much pace in there. He made all in the Coronation Cup pretty easily, beating Hamish, who's no mug at all. Look, he was below par next time out in the King George. His run behind Economics wasn't bad at all. And last time out in Delmar, things just didn't really look to go his way. I suppose you could argue from his past three runs, perhaps he's not any more at his best. But look, I think he's a solid yardstick. He pushed Romantic Warrior as close as he did last year in the Cup. I think the step up to 2,400 is definitely going to suit. And I suppose talking about pushing Romantic Warrior to the line, Jay, Dubai Honor's been looking at Romantic Warrior's behind for quite a while now. He steps up to the 2,400 as well. He was beaten by the Foxes last time out. Do you think he looks up against it here?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he's only a six-year-old, but feels like he's been around for many more years than that. But he's had several trips here before and sort of fallen short. It's probably hard to imagine him figuring at the pointy end of this race.
Yeah, definitely. And look, time and time again, the French contenders come out and do well. And I'm actually going to be with Marquis. Andre Farb won the race last year. He's probably the most one of the most unexposed in the race. I know Stellenbosch is probably down there as the most unexposed. He was pretty disappointing last time out over a mile and a half in Munich in a group one there. But his penultimate run, he pushed Goliath to within two lengths. He was only just behind Hamish as well, and he pushed Junko to a neck on heavy ground at Chanty, but Mikel was saying it was definitely firmer than that, and Dubai Honor and Goliath were in behind, even Al Karim as well, he's no mug, the Cole Burke trained stayer as well. So I think Marquisat can go close. He is drawn in 12, so I think Mikel's going to have to ride his luck. But as we saw on Wednesday, he's riding the crest of the wave over here, and look, he was going to be looking to bow out for Godolphin in good style. Sam, of the Hong Kong lot, what do you think? Are they all going to be kind of trailing home towards the rear of the field?
Have to think so, don't you? I can't say I've had too close a look at any of them because you just look at the class that's coming from overseas and it's really hard to make a case. Look, maybe Inshood's got some improvement there. James McDonald on doesn't hurt. Lacity Blanche has shown that he can run a good race on his day. But no, look, I think we look elsewhere.
Jay, give us the 1-2-3 to kick off Longines Hong Kong International Races Day.
I'll go with Without a Fight on top from Luxembourg, Marquisat, and Stellenbosch for fourth.
There you go. Sam, yourself?
I will have Stellenbosch to win, Daylight, and then Without a Fight.
Because I'm going to go Marquisat, Luxembourg, and Stellenbosch. Giovellotto is an interesting one in there as well. I should probably mention him, but I think he's probably a little bit of a stayer. Anyway, moving on to the sprints. Of course, everything revolves around Kai Ying Rising. He's about $1.40 in the market. We have the pair of Japanese runners, Toshi Macau and Lugal, around the $16 mark with California Spangle. How Deep Is Your Love? Helios Express are around there. And we got $26 bar those. Kai Ying Rising, I think it's wouldn't be ridiculous to say he could actually be the most hyped horse in the world right now. I mean, you look at the buzz that surrounded him this week, Sam. David Hayes and Zach Purton, their time's been, they must have been spoken about this horse about 150 times this week. Is he just going to go and win?
I think he probably will. Obviously, that combination of Purton and Hayes certainly helps build that hype. They're both very good with their time and they're willing to give the media a line. But yeah, it's quite amazing how much of the focus has been on Kai Ying Rising when we do have Romantic Warrior chasing history this week. And this is a horse that's been around the world and he's probably got fans everywhere. But Kai Ying Rising has certainly captured the imagination. And gate 11's not ideal, but the way that this horse can jump and just use his tactical speed to put himself wherever he wants to be. It's going to have to go awfully wrong for him not to win.
Yeah, and Jay, you've probably got California Spangle and Victor the winner there, trying to make the make all. California Spangle, of course, drawn in two. Can you see either of those posing a little bit of a problem for Kying Rising, or is it more or less a procession for him?
No, I don't think they'll be challenging him. I'm not sure anything will be challenging him in this race, but interesting to note, I suppose, the Kying Rising recent races, when he puts the foot down and runs away from his rivals that are sort of on the speed with him, it tends to be those horses back in the field that are running on and filling the placing. So, going through that sort of theory, I sort of feel like some of these back markers can probably get into the race late and fill the second, third, fourth behind the emerging superstar.
Yeah, and Jay, you were there with Legal at the Sprinter Stakes. He was well fancied for the Takamatsu and Meyer. Disappointed there, bounced back in the Sprinter Stakes at a big price. Can you see him running a big race, or does he look up against it?
I think he can fare pretty well in this race. He's a class horse. He came back from injury to win the Sprinter Stakes and did it pretty emphatically that day. So I think he can run a bit of a race in behind Kying Rising.
Yeah, and Sam, Kieran Miles, first runner at Shot In, recommendation. Does he have a lot to prove, or can you not underestimate Kieran when he brings one over here?
I think Kieran's, it's great that he's bought a horse, and it sounds like he's had a great week, but this might very much be a sort of a fact-finding mission for Kieran with an eye to further international meetings in Hong Kong. Look, maybe the horse can run a sneaky big race, but I can't see him being anywhere near the top four.
Yeah, and we have Starlost in there as well, of course, the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint winner last time out. I think he just looks up against it. He's trying to be the first three-year-old to go and win. He has improved all year. I think he's making his 11th start. Steps back up to 6 furlongs for the first time since Royal Ascot when he disappointed. I'd be very surprised if he's going to go and run a place here. I think Rafe Beckett is certain that 6 furlongs round a bend is going to suit him. So it'll be interesting to see him step up. Great opportunity for Ross Orion as well. Be interesting to see where he is in the running from 10. I suppose if Jay Kying Rising is going to win this and win this in good style, he's going to have someone follow him home. Who do you think it's going to be?
I think How Deep Is Your Love, the way he's going at the moment, he'd have to be a big place chance in behind, obviously coming off that second behind Kying Rising last time out. And as I mentioned, just with the race shape that of Kying Rising's recent wins, I think he'll be sitting back off them and running on late into a top three position.
Sam, I can't really get How Deep Is Your Love right. Every time I think he's going to run a big race, he finishes seventh or fifth or whatnot. And when I think I'll ride him off, he goes and grabs a place. What do you make of him?
Yeah, maybe he's a fraction inconsistent, but look, he's certainly shown enough to suggest that he's going to run he's going to win a good race one day. It's probably not going to be against Kying Rising. He may be the new Haylist of Hong Kong racing. We will see. But I think the Kying Rising form is certainly where we want to be looking this weekend. And I'd say How Deep Is Your Love and Helios Express are the ones that will likely be filling the placings.
There we go. There's the 1, 2, 3 there. I'm interested to see how Beauty Waves goes as well. I think he's still got a little bit more to offer. He probably isn't up to Group 1 level, but he could be grabbing a place. Jay, what are your 2 and 3 looking like after Kying Rising?
I'll go with How Deep Is Your Love. I'll throw Legal in for Japan and Helios Express just for fourth. Just thought maybe Barrier 1, he might not get the smoothest run from there. It's probably only a small query, really, as he's in cracking form this campaign and he's got a powerful sprint on him, so he'll be finishing off well late still.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see how Invincible Sage goes as well. I thought he travelled really powerfully last time out in the Jockey Club Sprint, weakened in the closing stages, but Blake's on. He has still 12 to negotiate, but look, he's a Group 1 winner over 1,200 last year. I'm sure David Hall will be a little bit disappointed with how he's gone so far, so it'll be interesting to see how he goes as well. Moving on to the Group 1 Hong Kong Ma, we have Voyage Bubble and Soul Rush at the top of the market at around the $6 mark. Jantar Mantar is $7. The French Raider Lazat is with Antino there, the Australian at $8. And it's around Galaxy Patcher. He's in between kind of $7.50 and $11 I got in front of me in overseas markets. And it's Chan Cheng Glory 16-1 bar those. Sam, this is probably, if the Vars isn't, this is definitely the most competitive race. It's a proper international affair. A few at the top of the market vying for favouritism. Are you going to stick with your beloved Voyage Bubble?
I will be sticking with him. I think after his last start win, the fact he's getting £5 back off all his local rivals, or most of them, despite that win, would suggest he's very well placed to add a second Group 1 to his resume here. But as you said, there's plenty of overseas talent. Voyage Bubble did finish in front of Soul Rush behind Golden 60 a year ago. And Soul Rush has obviously got that wide draw. But with the likes of Antino and Lazat, especially for me, I think, it's going to be a very willing race. And those two bring really, really strong form from Australia.
Now, Voyage Bubble, you've always stuck with him. Jay and I have tried to get him beat where we can. Do you still think he's a little bit underrated?
I think you have that the shadow of Golden 60, don't you? And then he was the only miler talked about in Hong Kong for the best part of 4 years. So I guess, he's not been gone long. Beauty Eternal won that Champions Mile on a wet track, and there was a little bit of a query around just how good that win was. So I guess this is now the opportunity for a local horse to really stand up and stamp themselves as the next big miler in Hong Kong.
Yeah, and Jay, the other, I suppose, leading light in the mile division for Hong Kong has to be Galaxy Patch. Look, he was disappointing last time out. Pierre would probably say, if you're going to go and get him beat at 1.7, it seems like him and Vincent both think there's more to come from him here. Do you think he has enough to reverse the form with Voyage Bubble, or have you kind of lost the faith a little bit with him?
Yeah, only a little bit. I mean, he's still obviously a very capable horse on his day. I think last start just showed he probably needs almost everything to go his way in a race. First up, it did when he got that sort of perfect toe into the race behind Voyage Bubble, who was three deep, no cover. And last time out, I think he sort of tried to latch on the back of another horse mid-race, and it just never really worked out. He was left exposed a fair way out and just sort of only battled away. He wasn't sort of as electrifying as he's shown in more recent wins before that run. So the big query here is obviously 14. I know he does step slow and get back and they want to ride him cold, but you're going to be right out the back in a full field of 14 with some genuine top milers, genuine Group 1 horses in this race. It's going to be a big task for him, I think.
Yeah, I actually think stall 14 is not the worst thing in the world for him, because it makes Vincent's mind up for him. Like, as you say, he's slightly slower away. They're going to have to take him back if he's good enough to get through them all. That's the other question, as you say. Sam Antino's come over. He's a little bit of an unknown for me. He won the Toorak, of course, in really good style. He pushed Mr. Brightside last time out. Blake is back on him. What do you make of him?
Look, he's been a bit of an enigmatic horse throughout his career, but there's no doubting his very best form has been in the past couple of months, and he just couldn't be coming here in any better shape. And I know his trainer, Tony Gollan's, very bullish about how he can perform, and Blake Shin's probably as good a man as you could hope to have on board. I mean, he was the one that took him around the field in the Toorak. And look, he's got gate four, so Blake will have options. And look, I think he probably brings as good an international form as anything.
Yeah, and speaking of the international form, Jay, Jeantar Manta hasn't been seen for a long time, but he almost couldn't have been more impressive when he won in May in the NHK Mile Cup. He has had a slight setback since then. Does get a little bit of weight, of course, as a three-year-old, now running up against all ages. I think he's a little bit of a tricky one to get a handle on. I know the Japanese raiders, the Japanese journalists and everyone about and analysts have rated him their best chance. Do you think he is?
I don't know. It's probably hard to split him and Soul Rush, isn't it? I think Jeantar Manta's definitely got the X factor. He's probably the X factor horse of the entire race. He's been a bit of a buzz horse on the tip of everyone's tongues this week. You can't miss him at track work when he's flying around with the bright orange blinkers and bandages on his legs. But he's a cracking type. He's lightly raced. Obviously done some pretty good things in his short career to date. It's just hard to line up coming off such a long break, having not raced since May 5. It's almost in the similar areas to what Golden 60 had to do last year, coming into the mile off such a long break. So, at his best, I'm sure he can go really close. But you know, there's maybe a few question marks around him to put you off.
And Jack, we know how much you love a Britannia Stakes winner and basically any Royal Ascot handicap for that matter. Doc Land's probably looked a little bit one-paced in his last couple of starts in Australia. Is stepping back to the mile the right move for him?
I think it is. I think the stiff mile at Ascot suits him down to a T because it looks like he doesn't quite stay the mile and a quarter. Look, he has been running behind Vias Estina in the City of Troy, but he's been beaten almost out of sight where anything could have gone and won them. I think the step back to a mile does definitely suit. The second to Charing, I think, is a very good performance. He was still, I think, nearly three lengths clear of Malzume in third, and the European mile division isn't exactly top class this year, but Charing was the standout performer. I think the step back to a mile will suit. I think the track, of course, being a flat, a bit of a quicker mile, might not slightly suit, but he is a very strong traveller. If you see Charing there, he was almost the last off the bridle, picked his way through the field. I think he's nailed on to be travelling powerfully, coming around the bend. It's just if he has that turn of foot, he can stay over a mile, but it's just if he has that turn of foot. But he's drawn in two, and I do actually think he has a good chance of going very well. It'd be great to see as well, of course, the Eustaces having one running into the places. But he looks a bit of a tricky one for me.
Are you going to stick your neck out and put him on top?
No, I'm not, actually. I'm not. I'm gonna set out my beliefs and go with the bubble. I'm going to go with the bubble after potting you two or three times for going with the bubble. He gets that weight off Galaxy Patch. He's pretty uncomplicated. He's drawn in five and he's got James McDonald on. So you must be happy to see me sell out my beliefs like that.
Yeah, as I've said repeatedly, there's plenty of room on the bubble bandwagon and it's good to finally have you on board.
Yeah, of course. Jay Lazat, what do you make of him? He's stepping up to a mile for the first time.
Yeah, obviously unbeaten from his first six starts in France and then went to Australia for the Golden Eagle and was out in front and copping a bit of pressure there, but he fought on pretty well to run second. It was a pretty good run there. I suppose the extra 100 metres off that run may be a little query, but he might get a decent enough time of it up on the speed here. Obviously just a quality horse, from what he did the start of his career in France. So, definitely would not discount him. I wouldn't be surprised if he came out and won, to be honest.
Really? Yeah, that's a pretty big shout for Lazat. I think, yeah, he's pretty much taken the sprinting and 7 furlong division by storm in France this year. He was seriously impressive in that Group 1 pre-Maurice de Geest with Antonio Arani on board. Ramadan's down there at the bottom as well. There's another 3-year-old there who's going to be staying with Mark Newnham after. So I don't think he probably is good enough to win this, Jay, is he?
No, I don't think so. But plenty of eyes will be on him to see how he runs here and then going forward for the rest of his career here in Hong Kong.
Yeah, I hope he does run a big race because it will bring the classic mile kind of a little bit into the talk, other than just Kai Ying Rising. It'd be nice to have someone who could perhaps push him within two lengths, and if that is Ramadan, that'd be great. And Sam, looking at the top three or four for that race, send us home with a big, I think, trio in the mile.
As we've spoken about, we'll stick with Voyage Bubble and just hope that the market lets him go off a little bit longer than perhaps he should, which has been the case in the past. Antino for second, and with Demura going on, Lazat for third.
Nice. Voyage Bubble is going to be on top for me. Jantan Mantar is going to be in second. And Docklands is going to be flying the flag for Brits in third. Jay?
Yeah, I'm with the Bubble as well. I've switched my allegiances. I'm back on board the Bubble train. So, Voyage Bubble from Antino. I think he's got a pretty good chance. He will carry on his form from Australia up here. And I'll throw in Galaxy Patch for third, run on late.
Love it. And we move on to the final race, the richest race in Hong Kong, the Hong Kong Cup, where Romantic Warrior goes for a third, historic third Hong Kong Cup. He's around $1.50 chance, 2-1 on with overseas markets. I can imagine he'll be maybe even a little bit shorter on the day in Hong Kong. He has Liberty Island to think about, the Japanese 4-year-old filly. Tastiera is in there, as well as Wingspan and Content all around the $16 mark. We got Spirit Dancer at 20-1 and the Foxes $34, and it's $34.50 bar those. Sam, Romantic Warrior, he's drawn perfectly in stall one. He's going for a third Hong Kong Cup. It just looks all so simple for him, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, look, we know the 2,000 metre start at Sha Tin's a bit tricky. That's not going to be of concern to Romantic Warrior from gate one. I guess J-Mac just wants to make sure that he gets a nice position there, close enough to the speed that there's not too much danger of him getting trapped in when it comes to the crunch. But look, yeah, I mean, We know how good he is. We know that he just does what he needs to on his day. And with James in the saddle, they seem to be able to get out of any bind that they find. So, look, it would be take a very very gutsy punter to be shying away from him.
Yeah, and as Sam said, he just seems to get out of every trouble he needs to. He can jump. If he's not in a great position, he can weave himself out of trouble and he can kick clear and stay in really good style. And as James said a few times, he just looks like the perfect racehorse, doesn't he?
We'd love this race to pan out exactly like last time out in the Jockey Club Cup did when he drew one as well. He's actually jumped pretty quickly and found a nice position, and just the way he fanned sort of off the fence just before the turn and came down the centre of the track and rounded his rolls up pretty easily. If it worked out like that, I'm sure he'd be tickled pink. But he's just got to avoid sort of getting boxed in from barrier one, really, doesn't he?
Yeah, 100%. And Sam, Liberty Island's coming over. This time last year, I suppose a couple of weeks before this time last year, we were hoping she was going to come over because we thought she could have, perhaps, if she ran in the Cup, given Romantic Warrior a race. Since then, she's finished second in the Japan Cup. She was third in the Shima Classic behind Rebel's Romance. Had a setback and really disappointed last time out as a really well-backed favourite in the 10-0 show. What do you make of her coming into this? Because she looks like a little bit of a one that's another one that's really hard to get a handle on.
Yeah, look, there's plenty of hype and Connections are certainly happy with her. They've had plenty of good things to say this week. I guess it's interesting that Japan Cup run and the Dubai run, those really good runs were at 24. She has to take on Romantic Warrior at 2000. That last run was disappointing, even though she might have been a bit unlucky. She does get £4 off, and certainly the Equinox form and the level of class she brings is good enough to push Romantic Warrior, but I don't think I'd want to be backing her at around $5.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Jay, what do you think of her chances?
Yeah, probably in a similar boat to Sam there. Second up off that injury layoff for her as well, and maybe a bit of a question mark over how she's come back potentially. All her best form from last year when she was a 3-year-old. You can't question her talent and ability. It's just trying to push a horse like Romantic Warrior on his home deck. It's probably a bridge too far.
And Sam, you don't even think she's going to be the first of the Japanese contingent home, do you?
Well, going after Japanese horses at a bit of value has proven to be a profitable business at certain Hong Kong international meetings over the years, whether it's at the Hong Kong International Races or on Champions Day. And I just wonder if Tastiera is out at a nice double-figure price, whether he might be a bet after what I thought was a pretty good run behind Deduce in the 10-0 show Autumn last start.
Yeah, no, I completely see that. I think you hit the nail on the head with that Deduce form. Obviously a big price as well that day. He went off $54. So it'd be interesting to see if a little bit more money comes for her. Jay, of course, we have a couple of UK contingent in there. Spirit Dance, who won the Bahrain International Trophy last start, that defended his crown there. Of course, the angle there is looking at, of course, owned by Sir Alex Ferguson, the legend himself, and the Foxes, who beat Dubai Honor last time out. Do you think either of those can stick their neck out, or do you think they're going to find it pretty tough to run a place?
The maybe outside sort of place chances. I suppose Spirit Dancer could. He's in pretty good form. The Foxes really has to step up a few levels here, doesn't he? So I think it'll be tough for him. But hey, let's hope Spirit Dancer runs a race for Fergie, eh?
And Aidan O'Brien sends over two as well. 3-year-old fillies carrying not much weight at all. Wingspan content. What do you think? Do you think this is Aidan O'Brien's weakest team in a while?
Certainly these two have got a long way to go to be competing with horses like Liberty Island and Romantic Warrior, I think. He's never actually won the Hong Kong Cup, Aidan, and I don't think it'll be happening this year.
There we go. And Jay, who's going to be following Romantic Warrior home for second and third?
I think I'll be singing from the same hymn sheet as Samuel with Tastiera in for second for me. Japanese Derby winner in that Doju's form from last run. I think he can run pretty well. I suppose the only interesting thing with him, might be looking into it a bit too deep. From the track notes this week, he's there's been a lot of mentions of him still being quite nervy in Hong Kong, so maybe he hasn't settled in as well as others, but I'll still throw him in second and Liberty Island for third.
Nice. Yeah, I think Straight Aaron's going to run a big race. Ricky Yu seems to have brought him on a little bit. He was only beaten half a length in the race last year. He was a little bit flat last time out, but his run behind Galaxy Patch first up was a huge run in the Charting Trophy. So hopefully he can go well with Brendan Avdolla on board. He's drawn four as well, should be able to get into a nice spot. So I'm going to have him for second. I'll have Tastiera in third. I quite like the angle there that you guys have found. So I think that will be the 1, 2, 3 for me. There are the four group ones. Out of those, Sam, who's your strongest fancy?
I think it's got to be Voyage Bubble purely because of the odds that we hope he'll go off. I mean, Romantic Warrior and Kaying Rising are obviously stronger winning chances. But if Voyage Bubble's $4, $5, around that mark on the day, I think that's a fantastic bet. And just looking at it now, I think Romantic Warrior, Tastiera and Liberty Island is probably the clearest top three of the day. They just look like a class above the rest of that field in the cup.
Yeah, and Jay, what do you think? Have you got a best play with a Cunella or a Trio, or who's your strongest fancy as well?
I'd be much the same, to be honest. Voyage Bubble straight out, all aboard.
This is a horrible thing. This is a horrible
there's
thing.
There's one way to stop a train, and that's by doing this.
This is a horrible thing. I'm going to make it a full house of Voyage Bubbles. And the voyage might not be going the right way because I just feel sorry for Sam.
Sorry, Ricky. Yeah. Sorry for Ricky, you. More like it.
Can only apologise to Ricky here. He's been so bullish about him all year. Sam's been so bullish about him all year. Jay and I are hopping on this weekend, making him a strong fancy. What could possibly go wrong? But there we go. And elsewhere on the card, we have a 10-race card. It's an okay card. It's nothing ridiculously much to get excited about. Last year, Galaxy Patch won in Class 3 Company, and Targe Dragon won in the Class 2 Finale on the card. Jay, we've got 10 races there, 6 outside of the main 4. Is there anything that piques your interest?
Yeah, I don't mind Johannes Brahms in Race 9. Obviously, Zach sticking with him over Charming Legend looks like a pretty good push. I think he'll be pretty well found in this race, not throwing out anything at crazy odds. But yeah, he liked his first run in Hong Kong, running third behind Silvery Breeze. And he comes into a proper gate this time out, so I think he'll be hard to beat.
And he's jumping off Charming Legend to stick with him. I'm completely with you there with Johannes Brahms. I thought it was a really promising run first up. And I actually probably disagree with you in the sense that I think he'll be an okay price. He stayed on well, but I think he'll probably be just an average enough price. Sam, is there anything on the card for you? You're just going to keep it to the four features?
I won't be tipping anything. Really looking forward to seeing Packing Hermit go around with Joe Moreira on in the last, and also seeing if Ruby Lock can bounce back. And then for those that did get a little bit of a nibble of Barcelona at the 28s or even the 30s, maybe James McDonald in the Jockey Challenge this weekend mightn't be the worst bet if he's not too short.
What do you reckon is a fair enough price about him?
Look, you'd like $2. If you can get $1.80, probably still worth having a bet.
There we go. The James McDonald Voyage Bubble double on Hong Kong International Races Day. I'm going to be with Johannes Brahms as well. I think Johannes Brahms can go well. And in the finale, I actually think the race could pan out quite nicely for Chu Chow Spirit. He had a horrible trip last time out with Derek on. Derek does stick with him, but I think hopefully he can get a little bit of a better trip in the finale there and go a little bit better from stall 6. So there we go. There are a couple from all of us there heading into the best four races of the year, I suppose, at Sha Tin on Sunday. But there we go. That is the Hong Kong International Races preview. We have, of course, picked four winners there. But goodness me, it looks like it's all aboard the bubble train. Thanks for listening.